You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW. Let us surprise you.
Hey, parents. We all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's going on, everybody? It is that time again. The Sooners Illustrated Podcast, episode 277 on this Tuesday, June 9th, 2026. Josh Calloway, Tom Green here with you on a Tuesday. Just got back from Lawrence last night. My God, they just keep winning. Oklahoma improbably, unbelievably is going back to Omaha in the College World Series. We'll talk all about it. The weekend that was in Lawrence will set the table for Omaha. I'll be heading up there on Friday. Just how did this happen? We'll digest it all on just a crazy out-of-nowhere run for Skip Johnson and OU baseball. We'll wrap up a little softball portal stuff as well. Hit a little bit of hoops talk in the early part of June here as the non-con schedule kind of coming into play. Some big games on there. We'll kind of wrap that up a little bit of housekeeping there on the basketball side that we'll hit on the back end as well. Before we get started, though, reminder, subscribe to Sooners Illustrated at oklahoma.247sports.com. Use the promo code SoonersPod60. That'll get you a 60% discount to Sooners Illustrated, the entire 24/7 Sports Network. Be with us every single day. Myself, Tom Green, Colin Kendi, Brody Lusk, obviously all throughout the summer. Recruiting's going. Baseball, I'm about to go up to Omaha. Media days are about a month away-ish, month and a half. Football camp right around the corner. So be with us over every day at Sooners Illustrated. All right, Tom, let's get into it. Obviously, we got to start with baseball. Wow. I was up in Lawrence over the weekend for the Super Regional. Oklahoma taking on the Big 12 champ, Kansas Jayhawks. You know, last week they knocked off the ACC champ, Georgia Tech, in Atlanta. This time they go with the Big 12 champ in Kansas, the double champ. They won the tournament and the regular season title, did Kansas. This was a thumping, a complete molly-whopping, whatever word you want to put on it. Dominant stuff, 8-1 on Friday, 13-2 in game two, which started Sunday. I said Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it was finished yesterday, Monday. They're going back to Omaha. We'll obviously set the table for that before we leave here. But Tom, I know you were watching and keeping up with my coverage from Lawrence. I have a lot to, I mean, there's just like last weekend, there's a lot. There's so many guys playing well right now. What stands out to you? It's just unbelievable what this team is doing. The way they ended the regular season, four straight series losses, one and done in the SEC tournament. No one was giving them any kind of anything to do anything in the tournament, and now they're going to Omaha in absolutely dominant fashion to completely rolling at the right time. Unbelievable stuff for Oklahoma up in Lawrence.
It's really remarkable. Like you said, they dropped their last four regular season series in the SEC.
Yeah.
You know, you include the SEC tournament, they went 4-9 down the stretch. They were trending downwards. I remember, you know, month and a half ago, you know, maybe a little bit more, we're talking about what they need to do to potentially host a regional. And then we get to the selection show and they're the two seed in the Atlanta regional, having to go on the road against a, you know, historically good Georgia Tech team, and the number two overall national seed, and emerge from that and then just keep rolling on the road at Kansas was just really impressive. I mean, you look at what this team has done in the last calendar month. You know, we're sitting here on June 9th. Since May 9th, they've hit 35 home runs.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
From the great, I want to get it in because you just brought it up. From this is a great, the staff and the great Toby Rowland. 35 home runs, like you said, in the last 13 games. That's 41% of their total number for the season. So they've almost doubled what they've done, what they hit in the first, you know, 2/3 of the season, essentially, 3/4 in the last month. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then you look at their how well they've hit in the postseason. You know, they're hitting 350 as a team in 7 postseason games. It's just really remarkable. I mean, I saw a stat yesterday. They've got the hardest throwing pitching staff in the NCAA tournament this year.
Right.
And you know, they've struck out 62 in 7 games, a little bit less than 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, you know, just because they played that 10 inning game at Georgia Tech. They've only allowed 52 hits. You know, they've given up 29 walks, but 10 of those were in the loss. So you look at their other 6 wins, they're basically walking 3 guys a game. They're keeping teams off the base paths right now and just hammering them at the plate. Yeah. It's just been an all-around super impressive run from this team right here. Like you said, just kind of remarkable that they're back here after how things went the final month of the regular season.
It's crazy. You know, I talked about it a few weeks ago, kind of, you know, going into Hoover and kind of the tail end of the season. It's been such a weird team because at different times this year, every single part has been either the biggest strength or the biggest weakness, right? I mean, at the beginning of the season, it was all about the rotation. The middle of the year was, wow, this bullpen is unbelievable. The end of the year was the offense. I talked about it. Remember the Tennessee series, 17 hits in game one and lost. Like, they were scoring runs, but they were giving up so much that they were still losing. And now, you know, the hope was going to determine, like, maybe it clicks together. I mean, that's kind of your hope. And it has. Like, it has. They finally, for the first time all year, have all three phases rolling at the same time. They're pitching incredibly well. So they found the right formula in the rotation with Cord Rager, who's been unbelievable, Xander Mercurius, who was fantastic. It would have been another freshman, Nick Weslowski, in game three if there was one. So you're riding these three freshmen, and they found the bullpen arms. I mean, LJ Mercurius has been a revelation in the bullpen. Nate Smithberg, career day yesterday, longest outing of his career by far, going 3 2/3, just completely shutting Kansas down. Jackson Cleveland's been excellent, although I didn't really need him this weekend. Jason Bowden, again, same thing, like didn't really need him this weekend. But like, they've just it took longer than normal. Obviously, it took literally the entire season, but they found the formula. They've had the same starting lineup 1 through 9 throughout this run, and the lineup is long. How many times did I say early in the year too, where it was like, 1 through 4, 1 through 5 is working, but the bottom of the order is not giving you anything. That's not the case right now. I mean, you could argue 7 and 8, Desaun Harris and Dayton Tocchi have been the two as good as anyone, right? And that's at the bottom of the order. Jason Walk is back at the top. He's getting on base, which allows Brendan Brock to move down. And so all of a sudden you have – it's not just 1 through 5. It's truly a 1 through 9 that are hitting, scoring runs, and putting the ball over the fence, like you said. The amount of homers – that is the thing that is the most stark, is just out of nowhere, this power surge. Dayton LaChance continues to mash. It's unbelievable what he's doing. And, you know, it's a common sense thing, but when you can put the ball over the seats and get 2 runs, 3 runs, even 4 runs, you know, and on one swing as opposed to having to string hits together, that's huge. That's obviously huge. Again, obvious statement, but that has been a massive difference for Oklahoma in this run, has been their ability to put the ball over the fence. They did it all weekend in Lawrence. It's just astonishing, really. And I just, you know, you compare it to 2022, and there are some similarities in just the kind of the way the team is constructed, and you can kind of go one for one, but they could not be more different in the way that the season kind of unfolded. Because in 2022, they were sizzling hot going into the postseason. Like, it, you kind of felt it coming a little bit. Like, they won the Big 12 tournament that year. They were in host contention. Like, they were smoking hot going into the postseason. This team was cold as ice going into the postseason. I mean, one and done in Hoover. That team that we saw lose to LSU 6-2, couldn't score any run. I mean, that was that group is unrecognizable from what we're seeing right now. And, you know, confidence is a hell of a thing, and they're extremely confident right now. I think every guy goes up there feeling like they're going to get a hit or put the ball in the seats, and every pitcher on the mound feels like they're going to get it done. The defense has been really good. Like, it truly is, like, it's a cliche, but they are peaking, and it's all come together at the right time. Like, what you hope this team could be back in February, it's happening now, which it's the right time for it. Obviously, it's the right time for it. It's been amazing to watch, truthfully. Anything else to add from the weekend? It was unbelievable.
No, it's just, like you said, just a really impressive run to get back there for the second time in 5 years.
It's a big statement for the program to get back. I mean, you go twice in a five-year span. That's, you know, that's what the elite programs do, is get there. You know, if you can get there, you know, roughly three times a decade or so, like, that's what the high-end programs do. So 2 out of 5 years. And this five-year stretch, too, we were kind of chatting about it on the car ride back yesterday. Like, I would be interested to see how many five-year stretches, frankly, are as good as this one in the history of this program, with 2 Omaha trips, 4 regional finals. You know, I mean, you won a Big 12 title mixed in there 2 years ago. Like, it's a really good stretch. I know people were really frustrated in the middle of the year and down the stretch with the way it was going, but just kind of a reminder that Skip Johnson and this staff are really good, and this has been unbelievable. And I just can't emphasize enough how dominant this was this weekend. I mean, just complete annihilation. You know, I was fortunate to get to be up there. The crowd, I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, the energy in Lawrence, and on Friday, I keep saying Friday, on Saturday night, it was just a zoo, a madhouse. Everyone standing, it felt like a football game, truthfully. Like, it was unbelievable. And very first inning, they put runner on first to get a base hit to left against Cord Rager, and Brendan Brock in left field throws the runner out trying to get to third. Very first inning, and that kind of neutralized that inning, calmed Cord Rager down, and it really felt like from that moment on, it was just off to the races. I mean, Kansas never – I kind of felt a little bad, frankly, for the fans. Like, that was an expensive ticket. This was the greatest year in Kansas baseball history, or, like, at the very top. And they had nothing to cheer about all weekend. I mean, they just got absolutely pummeled. It was unbelievable. And this team is just absolutely rolling at the right time. And you know, major credit goes to these guys for not, you know, kind of rolling over and dying. I mean, it would have been pretty easy to do so. When you lose 4 series in a row, it, you know, it would have been kind of easy to be like, just pack, just get me to the offseason sort of a thing, a little bit, going through the motions. And they didn't give up. They kept battling, and unbelievably, they're going to Omaha. It's crazy. So, fun stuff for sure. So, on that note, Omaha this weekend, Saturday, 2 o'clock, they play Alabama. So, it's funny because they've been doubted. They've been the underdogs throughout this run. They were huge underdogs in Atlanta, slight underdogs in Lawrence. They were underdogs, but not to certainly the degree they were in Atlanta. They'll be hefty underdogs again. If you look at the championship odds, I think they're 7th of the 8 teams. Only better than Troy, who's obviously the team that's made a run. Their side of the bracket is a complete gauntlet. It's all SEC, Alabama, and then the nightcap is Texas and Georgia, who are both up right at the top of the favorites. Georgia is the favorite right now to win the national championship. Tom, it's a brutal draw. And I think a big part of this run has been getting out of the SEC. And they're so used to it because they play it all year long. And, like, you saw the difference this week. And, like, there's levels to this sort of a thing. Facing a good Kansas team, a team that won the Big 12, was the best team in the Big 12, and Oklahoma smoked them. That goes away this weekend, right? I mean, you're going to be playing all SEC teams until the finals, which could conceivably be another SEC team in Ole Miss, who's also piping hot right now. Any thoughts from you on the draw? I mean, it's a brutal draw. They played Alabama once this year already. They had a series in Norman back in April. They lost 2 out of 3 at home in that series, but they were 3 very competitive games. So I think Oklahoma can definitely continue to win in Omaha, but it's going to be tough. This is a very, very difficult draw on their side of the bracket this weekend for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it, like you said, it's a tough draw. You got three of the top seven national seeds on your side of the bracket. And like you said, all three of them are SEC teams. So, that, you know, says a lot about the depth of the conference. Obviously, 12 teams from the SEC made the tournament this year. But to just, you know, have some of the best teams in the country that you're going to have to go through to try to, you know, play yourself into that second week is going to be really difficult. Yeah, I'm curious to see how it goes on Saturday because, you know, like you said, Oklahoma's been rolling right now. They're just clicking on all cylinders. It's obviously a different team at this point of the season than the one that dropped two of three at home to Alabama. And those are competitive games. So like, I wouldn't count Oklahoma out, but it's going to be a really tough draw. But if they can win that first game, it just gives them such an advantage in Omaha moving forward.
One really interesting wrinkle with this game that is going to be very fascinating to watch is that when they played Alabama the first time, no Cord Rager. That was the heat. If you can remember, maybe people listening do or don't remember, he missed like a couple weekends in the middle of the year with injury stuff. That was one of the series he did miss. I have to figure he's going to get the ball on Saturday. So they didn't see him the first time. That's big. You know, getting a second look at a pitcher is a huge help. And they will not have that benefit, Alabama. They're going to be going against a guy in Rager who is both, A, pitching the best of his young career, his freshman season. He was unhittable, basically, on Saturday. Kansas had nothing for him. I think if Skip wanted to push the pitch count, which he wasn't going to do, he doesn't want to, you know, put these guys in tough spots with their health. But if he wanted to just let him keep going, he would have thrown a complete game. Complete game shutout. They had nothing for him. So he's both pitching the best of his young career right now, and they don't have the benefit of having seen him once already. So that's a sneaky little storyline slash help, the fact that they did not have to throw Cord the first time around against Alabama. So we'll see what that looks like on Saturday. It's going to be an absolute scene. I said this in 2022 before we were here at Sooners Illustrated, before we started this site. I'll say it again. If you're on the fence with going, go. It's the coolest thing. I love the College World Series. It's an awesome event. The fan turnout in Lawrence was unbelievable. I was shocked at how many OU fans were there. I mean, I know it's a short trip and there's a good alumni base in like Kansas City area and all that, but man, I'll tell you what, this, I mean, it was more Kansas fans. It's Lawrence, obviously, literally their campus, but OU was well represented. And by the time that game ended on Monday, there were probably more OU fans in the building than, I mean, it was crazy how many OU fans were up there. And so, you know, Omaha obviously is a different animal, but I would highly recommend that if you're an OU fan who can do it, who has the means to do it, that sort of thing, to do it, because it's an awesome once in a lifetime type of thing. I mean, it is such a cool event, and this team has a chance to go far. So gonna be fun. I'll be heading up there on Friday. More coverage to come throughout the week, setting the table. Tom's been, is probably, he already has, and I imagine we'll continue to pitch in a little bit on the baseball side as we try to cover this thing as well as we can. And again, YouTube channel, post-game presser from yesterday is there. Should be able to get all the ones in Omaha up without much of a problem. So be sure to keep into the YouTube for, you know, content and hearing from the team after each game, however long they go in Omaha. Last time we were up there for the length of it, who knows what happens this time, but quite a run, but an unbelievable just couple of weeks for this team, and who knows how far it'll go, how long it'll go. Fun stuff to come, OU Alabama on Saturday.
All right, I have one fun question for you before you head up to Omaha. How do you pack for Omaha when you're covering it?
Well, last
time, you could be there for 4 days or you could be there for 2 weeks. I know, it's
brutal. Last time I just packed a ton of stuff. I had a bag that was filled with like basically 12 of everything, 12 pants, 12 shirts, 12 polos. So, I mean, and I still had to do, I think I had to do laundry at toward the tail end of it. Cause yeah, if you go the length of it, it's a beast. It's a beast, for sure. Cause yeah, I mean, you go, they play Saturday, which last year they were on the first day. So that's one less day, I guess. But Saturday, the final game, conceivably, if it goes the absolute length, would be the following Monday. So you're talking what, 11 days, I think that is, 12, 11?
12.
It's a beast. It's a beast, but it's the best. It's awesome, and I can't believe we're going back up there. It's just, how did this happen? Unbelievable. So good stuff, and again, happy for Skip and the players and the program. A lot of good people with that program. They're a pleasure to cover all year, and just to stick with it when the way the season was going the way it was. It, you know, there's something to be said for that. for sure. So good stuff. Be up there this weekend. Keep an eye out for lots of coverage on the site, on the YouTube from Omaha. We'll be represented up there. It's going to be fun. The Sooners Illustrated podcast will be back after this short break.
Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
All right, let's get some other stuff, just some kind of housekeeping items here. Let's do a little bit of softball portal stuff. The portal is open in the world of softball. Oklahoma had a few players that made their intentions known over the last week or so. We hadn't really touched on just yet, but we did get a big domino yesterday. Reportedly, Cassidy Pickering going to get into the portal. This is the first, again, I would say really big domino so far. There very well could be more and likely will be more. Obviously, as we keep an eye on this thing. But, Tom, your reaction to that, and you can tidy up the other ones if you want. I don't remember all the names. I think Tia Malloy was one. But obviously, the big one is Pickering so far. What's your read of that situation? So she was a starter. She played but didn't have the best year. Just your thoughts there as Pickering hits the portal, reportedly.
Yeah, from my understanding, it's not a huge surprise. I don't know if you remember last offseason, but there were some rumblings that there was a team that was trying to lure her into the portal. But she ultimately decided to stay. Like you said, kind of an up and down year for her. You know, at the plate, she wound up with some of the best numbers of her career, but it was an inconsistent season. Mm-hmm. She had that month long slump.
Yeah.
Kind of from like mid-April to mid-May, just about, maybe a little bit earlier. Found a rhythm a little bit as they got to the postseason and had some big hits for them in the postseason, some good at-bats, plate appearances. But, you know, just really struggled for that stretch. Still had, you know, career highs in home runs, RBI, runs scored. You know, her on-base percentage was the lowest of her career. And the other thing is she wasn't starting consistently in the field. She was the designated player. You know, because Ella Parker took over in right field. Sure. You know, Abby Dayton was a fixture in left field. Obviously, Kai Miner was a staple there out in center field. So she wasn't in the field as much, was mostly playing designated player. So a little bit of an up and down year for her. But, you know, this is still someone who, you know, a year ago was an All-American and was ostensibly their second best hitter in 2025. You know, made the Women's College World Series all-tournament team as a freshman in 2024 when Oklahoma won its last title. So really, really, I mean, like it's a tough loss regardless when you lose someone of that talent. I think D1 softball has her as the number two player in the portal right now, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow. Yeah.
Obviously that changes as more people hop in. I think that's where she was at this morning. But again, not too surprising from my understanding. The interesting thing is, you know, reportedly she's in the portal with a do not contact tag on there. So obviously she has a pretty good idea of either what her options are or where she will be next season as a senior. So it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. But yeah, she's one of four portal entrants so far. You mentioned Tia Malloy, and then you got the Zach Hay sisters, Berkeley and Riley. You know, I think of that group, you know, Berkeley, Zach Hay is probably the one that you want to lose the least, just because I think she showed some good promise as a freshman, pitching in some good spots there. But we'll see. I'm really curious to see what that pitching staff looks like next season, you know, with some of the freshmen they're bringing in, what they're bringing back, and whether they go out and they try to add a big arm or a big name from the portal. I think it's going to be really interesting to track in the coming weeks.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm glad you noted the do not contact tag, which is always interesting because it certainly suggests that she already knows where she's headed. Not always the case, but that's obviously the implication when you see something like that. So curious to see what that is, where that is, obviously. And a lot of speculation out there. I have no idea, but we'll find out obviously soon enough. And we'll see what else happens if there's more movement, you know, if more players. I mean, a lot of names have been floated. Pickering was one of those names that had been, you know, in the rumor mill, if you will, and it came to fruition. And so we'll see. The funny thing is that she was in Lawrence for the baseball regional, was literally on the field. We were joking about it because she was on the field with the baseball team. A bunch of softball players were up there on the field in the celebration. And then we're thinking like, hey, that's probably maybe a good sign that she's sticking around. And then we're on the drive back. It's like, oh, nope, never mind. She's hitting the portal after all. So kind of funny timing there, but it'll be
interesting. It was what, her, Ella Parker, Kendall Wells.
And Parker. What was the other one?
Pickering, Parker, and Wells are the ones that I saw.
Okay, I thought there might have been one more. Definitely those three, though. I remember that for sure. But yeah, they made the trip up there, and then lo and behold. And so we'll see, I guess. But yeah, early move in the portal. It just opened up. Already a bunch of names in there, just like every sport, it's a circus. And so we'll keep an eye on it as more names more than likely jump in for Oklahoma. And then obviously it taketh, but the portal giveth. What does Oklahoma look to add here over the, you know, the next few weeks, like you said, as they try to, you know, kind of round out this roster, get ready to make another run at it in 2027, it would be next spring. All right, before we go, a little bit of housekeeping items on the basketball side of things. Non-conference schedule rounding into form for Oklahoma. Obviously, they have a ton of bye games. Nothing new there. I don't need to list them all. They open the season with East Texas A&M. I believe it's November 2nd. I don't have the date in front of me. I think that's what it is, though. That's who they open with. They have a bunch more. I assume they'll have a McCaslin game in there. The important games that we now know based off the ACC-SEC challenge being announced and also Oklahoma announcing a non-con matchup with SMU, which will be on December 22nd in Dallas. The Mustangs will make the return trip to Norman next year, which will be nice to have another Power 5 game in your building. Always nice to have because they don't have a lot of those typically on a year to year. They're going to be in Fort Myers for Pittsburgh and Purdue on Thanksgiving Day, which is quite a matchup. Obviously out there, a little multi-team event out there. The aforementioned ACC-SEC challenge is going to be Syracuse coming to Norman on December the 1st. Arizona State in Tulsa, which is a really interesting one. It's on Saturday, December 5th, which is the day of conference championship game. So if OU football is still playing, we may not get up to Tulsa. Maybe we will. I don't know. We'll see what happens. And then Bedlam is expected to be back. I don't know if that's official yet, but it's expected to be back the following weekend on December 12th at the Paycom Center again. Tom, your thoughts on this non-con schedule? I mean, it looks to me like, you know, certainly less daunting than last year. It feels like on paper anyway. I mean, some tough games on here, but last year, Gonzaga in Spokane, like Nebraska, which we didn't really know how good Nebraska was going to be, but you kind of looked at it and there were some doozies on there that were just kind of no-win propositions for Oklahoma in some ways. Maybe not the case this time. What's your read of what Oklahoma has on the board in the non-con?
Yeah, I think, again, like the lack of big games at home, I think is kind of unfortunate for fans. I mean, like, you're going to get your share of them in the SEC. But those not having anything to really get fans excited about at home for early season is always tough. You know, I think we've talked about it, but like Fairleigh Dickinson and Campbell were like two of the worst teams in KenPom last season.
Yeah.
You know, that Fort Myers on Thanksgiving weekend, you know, playing another one of those multi-team events is always interesting. Syracuse at home, part of the ACC, SEC Challenge. I'm intrigued to see what that team looks like with Jerry McNamara taking over as head coach. Should be a good one. Arizona State and Tulsa. That one's a little interesting to me because, like, that's kind of a return trip because they played Arizona State in Phoenix, which isn't technically Tempe, but it's like a suburb. Like Tempe is a suburb of Phoenix, so I don't know. That game would have made more sense to me, like if it was in OKC, like that would be like kind of the 1-1 there. So
play Bedlam and Tulsa maybe, and then flip because I know OSU would be interested in that. And then it does seem a little odd. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that SMU home and home for the next two seasons, solid move. But again, you got some intriguing games. I think the one that interests me the most is that Purdue game in Fort Myers at Thanksgiving weekend. That should be a good one to monitor there for Oklahoma, just because, you know, Purdue's been really solid program the last, you know, several years. So I'm curious to see how that how this iteration of Oklahoma kind of matches up against a quality Big Ten opponent.
Yeah, I agree on the lack of home games. It is nice, though, and Brody has noted this before, that there was a bit of more of an emphasis on, even if they're not at home, at least being more accessible to OU fans. I mean, Spokane and South Dakota and Phoenix, I mean, those are Chicago even. Like, those are not exactly – I mean, this year it is, like you said, Tulsa, SMU's down the road in Dallas. The Syracuse game is at home. Bellum's at the Paycom Centers. Even though the LNC and you won't have a lot on campus to really get too excited about, there are some pretty reachable games for OU fans. Not like SMU, even if you're not making the trip down, there's just a lot of OU fans that are in Dallas anyway. So, you know, you would hope to have a pretty good representation there. And obviously the Thanksgiving event out in Fort Myers, it will be interesting to see them play. Obviously former head coach Jeff Capel and Pittsburgh, and then a big test with Purdue. Obviously that's a huge opportunity on Thanksgiving Day to try and pick yourself up a nice little resume booster there in the month of November. So yeah, it's an interesting group of games. It is nice, like you said, no home games really outside of Syracuse. It stinks for fans and it stinks for students, but you at least have a couple of reachable games for fans that are, you know, realistic. And so
we'll see
how it all looks. SMU game being on December 22nd, that's right. If you're an OU fan, you're hoping that OU's still playing in football, because likely that means they won a playoff game unless they missed the playoff entirely, which wouldn't be good. But that timing is kind of not real great for us, because when they first announced it, I was thinking, oh, we could maybe mosey down there. But right before Christmas, that might be a bit tricky.
Yeah.
And mid-playoff potentially might be a bit tricky, but we'll see, I guess. I think that's it. Like I said, I'll be going to Omaha this weekend. Friday, the plan to head up there. You know, the media day is Thursday, which I'd like to be there for, but I'm not playing until Saturday. Just kind of like, I don't know, it seems like it probably just makes more monetary sense and logistically to wait till Friday. So I think that's the plan. Going to get up there on Friday, and OU plays on Saturday. Again, full coverage from Omaha to come. Some more throughout the week, certainly, as well, setting the table for this weekend. Not sure as of now if Colin and Brody or you know, any combination thereof will hit a show later this week. We'll have to see how things kind of shake out. Obviously, a lot of recruiting stuff going on, kind of on a negative side the last couple of days, but we'll get to that at some point. In any event, I will still be doing podcasts from Omaha, however long they go. We'll find a way to make that work as best we can, obviously. So stay plugged into the YouTube, stay plugged into the website for full coverage. Obviously, football offseason stuff still rolling, recruiting, and a lot of baseball to come as we get ready to head to Omaha, Nebraska. I think that's it for now. For Tom Green, I'm Josh Callaway. We'll see you guys next time right back here, as always, on Sooners Illustrated.